And do turn back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, on page 37 in the New Testament part. That's towards the end of the Bibles. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for your word. Pray that it will be our teacher this morning, that your spirit will be our guide, and your supreme glory our sole concern. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, could it be that something unexpected could happen this afternoon, that you're going about whatever you do on a Sunday afternoon, and something completely unexpected happens that changes your life forever? Is that possible? I think it is, isn't it? All sorts of things could happen. They could be really good things. A long-lost relative turns up and greets you with £1 million or something. Really. There could be really bad things, unfortunately, medical things and that kind of thing. Life is full of surprises like that. Is there any way we can prepare for the unexpected, for the unpredictable? Well, we can, can't we? We can get fire extinguishers in the church buildings so in case there's a fire. We're preparing for the unexpected, the unpredictable. We can get insurance policies. When you go on the underground, you can carry an autograph book in case there's a star who turns up next to you and you want to get their autograph or something like that. But we can be prepared in some ways, in many ways, for the unexpected. And today we're going to find out something that is going to be unexpected and unpredictable, but something that we can prepare for. And we're going to see how to get ready. We're going to have a little series over Christmas, at the Advent period, looking at Matthew chapter 25 and what Jesus has to say about his return. He's coming back. He's going to return. And he says that it's going to be an amazing thing. This is towards the end of Matthew's Gospel, towards the end of Jesus' life on earth. It's in the last few days before he's crucified. And in chapters 24 and 25, he spends a lot of time speaking about the future. He's in Jerusalem. He sees his disciples see the amazing temple. He explains that that's going to be reduced to rubble one day. And then beyond that, he will come back. Just have a quick look in the previous chapter, chapter 24, at verse 29. Chapter 24, verse 29. Soon after the trouble of those days, the sun will grow dark, the moon will no longer shine, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers in space will be driven from their courses. This is global and cataclysmic. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the peoples of earth will weep as they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now the Son of Man, it's Jesus. He always often refers to himself in that way. Jesus is going to return. The great trumpet will sound and he'll send out his angels to the four corners of the earth and they'll gather his chosen people from one end of the world to the other. And he follows that up with a number of parables, and three of them are in chapter 25, and we're going to be looking at those today and for the next couple of weeks. And this parable is about 10 young women, 10 girls, teenage girls probably, unmarried, and about a wedding that they're going to go to, hopefully. And what we'll do, we'll spend a few moments looking at the parable, seeing what we can spot in the parable, and then we'll ask a couple of questions. Well, one question really, what should we do about ourselves because of this? So what have we got in the parable? Well, first of all, a parable is a story, isn't it? Jesus told lots of stories to illustrate things about himself and the kingdom of heaven. And there's lots we could say about parables. They're often got one main point to them. Often they've been mistreated by the church in the past. People trying to get 10 things and identify everything. So in this parable, the oil becomes something particular. But it seems that Jesus' point is much more straightforward, to make one clear big point. And we'll see what that is as we go through. Meanwhile, there are six little things I want you to notice. So let's start in verse 1. And first thing we're going to see is that weddings are different. In those days, weddings are different. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. Once, there were 10 young women who took their oil lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, we had two weddings here yesterday, but at no stage did I see a row of 10 young women with their oil lamps going out to meet the bridegroom. And it wasn't at night either. So things are very different. In those days, apparently, a wedding would start at the bride's house with some ceremonies, and then there'd be a procession to the groom's house by nightfall in the night. And then at the groom's house, the partying would begin, and it could last for several days. Quite different to our weddings. And it seems that these girls are waiting, probably somewhere near the groom's house, waiting for that procession. So weddings are different. Second thing to notice is there is a difference between the two sets of girls, the wise and the foolish. Verse 2, five of them were foolish and the other five were wise. What's the difference? The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any extra oil with them, while the wise ones took containers full of oil for their lamps. Simple, isn't it? Simple difference. Extra oil. Okay, a flask of oil to add to their lamp so that it would last longer. The next thing is we see that the groom is late. Verse 5. The bridegroom was late in coming, so the women began to nod and fall asleep. Now we're used in our country to the bride being late. Not often that the bridegroom is late, he's often there early. But here the bridegroom is late. He's got off somewhere with his procession. And so the women get sleepy and go to sleep. And if it wasn't for the bridegroom being late, there'd be no story. Because if he'd been on time, they'd all have lamps burning and they'd all go into the wedding and that'd be fine. But this is the turning point. He's late. He's delayed. What's going to happen? Here's the next thing we notice. It's possible to buy oil at midnight in first century Israel. Who knew that? Amazing. Verse 6, it was already midnight when the cry rang out. Here's the bridegroom, come and meet him. The 10 women woke up and trimmed their lamps. Then the foolish ones said to the wise ones, let us have some of your oil because our lamps are going out. No, indeed, the wise ones answered, there's not enough for you and us. Go to the shop and buy some for yourselves. And off they go to buy the oil, but the shop is some way off. Now they should have had oil, shouldn't they? I think that's the point here, isn't it? They should have been ready. Look what it says about the other five in verse 10. So the foolish women went off to buy some oil, and while they were gone, the bridegroom arrived. The five who were what?
Ready.
The five who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was closed. So I said earlier, the difference was that they had oil, those wise ones. The difference is that they're ready. They're ready. A couple of other things to notice. We carry on to verse 11. Later, the other women arrived. Sir, let us in, they cried out. Certainly not, I don't know you, the bridegroom answered. The foolish women are shut out from the party. It would have been a great place to be. Celebrations, at least for that evening, maybe for a day or two. But they were completely shut out. The foolish girls are shut out. And then we end with Jesus' words, verse 13. Jesus concluded, be on your guard then, because you do not know the day or the hour. Be on your guard, because you do not know the day or the hour. Be on your guard. Be ready. Be wise. Well, how are we going to do that? What does that look like? I think there are two big things for us to do. Two big things for us to do. So first of all, be sure that Jesus will return. Here's the first thing for us to do. In response to Jesus' teaching here, be sure that Jesus will return. The bridegroom in the story stands for Jesus. And he returns. He's late, but he comes. He turns up. Verse 6. Here's the bridegroom. Come and meet him. The bridegroom arrives. Now we are in the era of waiting, aren't we? We're waiting for Jesus' return. Jesus has come. He died on the cross. And in his death, he takes on himself everything that shuts us off from God. And then he rose again so that we know we can have new life with him. Forgiven, born again, a relationship with God. And he's returned to heaven. And now we wait. That was all back then. Now we wait for a day when Jesus will return. And it's going to happen. The bridegroom comes. Here's the bridegroom. Come and meet him. Jesus will return. Be sure that Jesus will return. Now sometimes things that are hard to imagine, we think are impossible, don't we? It's hard to imagine this or that, and so it can't happen. 10 years ago, it would be hard to imagine some of the technology that we have today. A mobile phone I'm using to time myself. It would be unbelievable if you'd have told me about it 10 years ago. Or if you go out to the Sudan and you meet a Sudanese tribesman and you tell him about Tesco's. You can walk down an aisle and there's hundreds and thousands of pieces of fruit and vegetables all there to have. It'd be unimaginable to him, but not untrue. And in the same way, Jesus' return in some ways is unimaginable to us. We can't think what that would be like. Remember those words from chapter 24. The Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What's it like? Can't think that one out. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Be sure that Jesus will return. His parable helps us with some very important things about Jesus' return. Things that are taught elsewhere in the New Testament and in the Old Testament in the Bible, and that they just point out. Let me just mention a couple. It will be delayed.
Jesus' return will be delayed.
That's the whole point of this story, isn't it? Verse 5, the bridegroom was late in coming.
Jesus' return will be delayed. You see, we say 2,000 years and he hasn't come back. What's he doing?
And Jesus tells us there will be a delay. The wonderful thing is that the Apostle Peter tells us that for the Lord, 1,000 years are like a day. So for the Lord, it's not a great delay, but for us, it is, and we wait. So it shouldn't be a surprise that Jesus is delayed in returning.
Second thing to notice is that it will be glorious. It's a wedding. It's a bridegroom. It's a party, a feast in this story. Jesus comes back to something that's wonderful, something that you want to be at. The girls in the story, they want to be there.
And when Jesus returns, it will be glorious for us. Verse 30 again, coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
It will be somewhere you want to be.
It will be an unmissable event. No one will be able to miss it, seeing it. But actually being with him beyond his return in the new creation, well, that's something else.
So it will be delayed. It will be glorious. It will be the end and the beginning. It
will be the end of this world as we know it and the beginning of his new creation.
They go out of the dark and into the bridegroom's house and the door is shut.
It's the end for the foolish young women. It's the end for them. But it's the beginning, in a way, for the wise ones.
And so for those who don't trust in Christ and haven't turned to him, when he returns, it's the end.
And for those who do, it's the beginning of the new creation with him. It'll be delayed. It'll be glorious. It'll be the end and the beginning.
It will be unpredictable and unexpected. In Jesus' story, the bridegroom is definitely coming. He's definitely coming. He'll come. But they don't know when. They don't know when.
And that's why they have to be ready. And it's the same with us and Jesus. We don't know when Jesus will return. He taught this before in chapter 24. He's coming, but it's unpredictable. Could be today. Could be that Claire and I don't have to tidy up the rectory in order for the open house, because Jesus will return before then. That could happen. But it might not. It's unpredictable, unexpected.
Delayed, glorious, the end.
Unpredictable, too late. It will be too late. Verse 10, the foolish women went off to buy some oil, and while they were gone, the bridegroom arrived. The five who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was closed. It will be too late for some of our friends when Jesus returns, some of our family, our neighbours. It will be too late because they won't have turned to Christ. So some important things about Jesus' return. Be sure that Jesus will return. It'll be delayed, it'll be glorious, it'll be the end and the beginning. It'll be unpredictable. It'll be too late. How do we respond to that?
Well, that's the second thing that we need to do. First thing we need to do is to be sure that Jesus will return. The second thing is, be different because Jesus will return.
This fact needs to lead to change in the way we live, so that we're different in ourselves from how we used to be, but also different to the people around us who don't live trusting in Jesus. And one of the things that you'll get to know about me is that occasionally I have migraines. And when I have a migraine, it's not very nice. I managed to get over them fairly quickly, which is great. But to stop myself having migraines, knowing that fact that I get them, I don't drink red wine because I know that can cause them. I don't drink coffee because I know that can cause them. I try and get exercise because I know that helps stop. I try and drink lots of water because I know that helps stop. I don't eat chocolate. Unbelievable. Chocolate causes headaches. White chocolate's okay, but the brown stuff, which everyone likes, is a no-no for me. So because of the fact, I change how I live. And this is what we need to do here. Which of the girls will we be like? Will we be wise or foolish? Remember the distinction? What was the difference? The wise ones were ready. They were prepared, weren't they? Prepared for the delay, ready when Jesus returned. What does that look like? Well, we'll see that in the next couple of parables. But first of all, it looks like becoming a Christian, doesn't it? The first wise thing to do is to become a Christian. If you're not yet trusting in Jesus, if Jesus isn't the one that you submit to as Lord, then you need to. We all need to. If we're not living in submission to Jesus as Lord, we're rebels in his world. And we'll be shut out. We'll be like the wise women. And that will be to be completely unprepared. So to be prepared for his return, we need to turn to Jesus. Jesus is Lord and he's Saviour. He has died for us. He has risen to give us new life. And so if you haven't yet put your trust in Jesus, that Jesus, then do and get yourself ready. It also looks like being different. Looks like being
a full-time Christian. A full-time Christian. So somebody who actually is a Christian throughout the whole week. What are you doing tomorrow at 10:30? Being a Christian then. What's happening at Thursday, on this Thursday at 5 o'clock for you? I don't know. Being a Christian then. Trusting in Jesus, submitting to him, honouring him. There's ways that we can, things that we can do in our lives to help us. We can spend some time with Jesus each day. Just grab a Bible reading. Spend a bit of time hearing from God through his word. And then speaking to him in prayer. 10 minutes, 15 minutes if you can find it. We can make Jesus matter in decisions, can't we? I'm not talking about decisions about whether I go on the bus or the car. But big decisions about our lives. What we do with our time. What we do with our money. One of the things that I found very frustrating back in Frogmore, that was we would advertise a children's club at the beginning of the year before people had booked their holidays. And then when the time came to get leaders, we'd find that people would have booked holidays at the same time as a children's club, even though they were great children's leaders. There's a disconnect in their thinking between Jesus returning and living for him and booking their holidays. There's all sorts of ways we can be like that. But we need to be different from the people around us, following Jesus all the time. It shows in the way we think about the things we own, the things we buy. The way we think will be different to the way our friends and neighbours think who don't trust in Christ. What could we do with the money we're spending on something? Is this thing I'm buying, the way I'm spending my money, going to bring glory to Jesus? Is it going to bring people to Christ so they'll be prepared on that day he returns? There are all sorts of ways that we can change and be different. We need to be different because Jesus will return. So here's this story of 10 young women. 5 of them are wise, 5 of them are foolish. And it's all about Jesus returning. Be sure that Jesus will return. He promises it. It's a fact to do with him. Be different because Jesus will return. Is it possible that something unexpected could happen this afternoon that would change our lives forever? Yes, it is. It may not. But Jesus could return. Will you be sure of that? Will you be ready for it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for Jesus' teaching here. Thank you that he gives us the warning that we need so that we know that he's returning one day. And we praise you for that. And we look forward to that day with hope, with joy, and we pray for your help to be ready. We pray that you'd help us to acknowledge you in our lives from day to day, from hour to hour, to be different because Christ is coming back, to have kingdom priorities in our living for him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.